rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, actually that's El Shaddai, the Lord my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And this one we all know. From Isaiah 40. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And actually, that's a very interesting verse. When you look at the book of Isaiah, it's divided into basically two parts. Chapters 1 to 39 basically cover the whole of the Old Testament. And chapter 40 to the end is prophetic in the sense that it refers to the Messiah. There's 39 books in the Old Testament, and the first part of Isaiah has 39 chapters. There's 27 books in the New Testament, and the second part of Isaiah has 27 chapters. It's beautiful the way God puts things together. I want to tell a story this morning. Ross worked for the police. This is back in the days of the Department of Motor Transport. Long before the days of points being issued. And he was in the fines division. And Ross had a girlfriend, Susie, who also worked for the police. But she was just in an office section. Ross loved Susie greatly. He poured out his heart to her. And she acknowledged her love for him. But she was a bit of a party animal. And not a good driver. And every now and again she would get a fine. And she'd phone Ross and say, "Ross, can you make it go away?" Now Ross loved her. But the only way it could go away was if it was paid. So he used to pay them. Susie didn't know that. She thought he was just making the fines go away. But as I say, she was a bit of a party animal, and she loved Ross, but she didn't spend a lot of time with him. And he loved her deeply and longed for her to spend time. But they'd get together once a week sometimes. Sometimes she'd miss a week. It was a very strong relationship from his side, and she gave verbal assent that she loved him. He used to occasionally go out with other guys. What sort of a basis do you think that is for an ongoing relationship? Any comments? Interesting. Wouldn't make for a very stable relationship, would it? Let me ask a question. How many of you had breakfast this morning? You didn't have breakfast, Margaret. Do you ever have breakfast? You don't. How many will have dinner tonight? How do you think your health would go if you only had dinner every Sunday night? Thanks, George. If you only had one meal a week, how would your health go? You'd be a lot thinner, so would I. But it wouldn't sustain our lives, would it? We'd get sick, very sick. Well, Ross and Susie's relationship got sick. Not because of Ross, but because of Susie's, I guess, apathy. In spite of the fact that she protested she loved Ross, there wasn't enough communication to really keep things going. And you know, a lot of Christians are like that. We think coming to church one day a week is enough to keep things going. Cost Jesus everything. We come before him sometimes with, "I've fouled up again, can you make it go away?" He paid the penalty for you and me. And he desperately wants communion with us, communication. Not just one day a week. He wants a relationship. He's the bridegroom. We are the bride. We need that relationship to be strong. Because out of that relationship, we get our strength. He loves us very much. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings as eagles. Who's seen an eagle flying, or a hawk, or any of the raptors? You see them flapping their wings a lot? No. In fact, there was a study done in America with bald eagles, and they found on average, for every hour's flight, there's only 2 minutes of wing flapping. The eagle has huge wings, and it takes a lot of energy to flap them. But they wait on God. They wait for the air currents. And they go from air current to air current. And they glide. Because they know that those currents are provided for them. We're more like parrots. We flap our wings everywhere we go. We put a lot of effort into living. God wants us to wait on Him, like the eagle. They who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will renew their relationship. Waiting on God is having a fresh relationship, not once a week. Not twice a week. Not three times a week. Not seven times a week. Waiting on God is a very active thing. It's like going on a trip in a car. You know your destination. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet in our relationship with God? Or is our relationship, God, can you make it go away? Let's determine in our lives to renew and rebuild that relationship on a daily, hourly basis. Last week I spoke about walking with God. But walking is not something you do one day a week. If you're walking with someone, you've got your eyes on the person you're walking with. It's walking together. It's like my two legs walking together. They work together. If I walk with this one and this one doesn't do anything, I'm going to fall flat, aren't I? Let's determine to walk with God. Let's determine to rise up on eagle's wings.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. May the Lord bestow his grace into your heart, mind and body. May you accept the grace of the Lord into your heart, mind and body. The grace of the Lord is the greatest gift that we may accept. So go in peace in the love of the Lord. Amen.